In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
What are you laughing at? The what's in my butt thing?
I think it's my favorite thing that we have coming back from a commercial break. It's just Rob going, what's in his butt? What's in his butt? Like, he's curious. Like, please, what's in his butt?
I remember the context of that. And I was I was kind of like side-eyeing you for us even doing that. What's in my butt? And that's the true context of that. All right. We're going to go. Here's the rules. Now, we know for the most part when Mountcastle's coming back, right? So we're putting this lineup in with Mountcastle in. So I did with Mountcastle in and without Westberg, because we don't know really when he's coming back. And then I did another one with Westberg, because to me, the lineup completely different with Westberg. So give me your left, your right-handed lineup. Is this with or without Westberg?
It's without.
Okay.
Just because, and I put Mountcastle in. Because in normal standards, like if we were going to put Westberg in, it just changes everything.
Right.
So again, and he would be somewhere in the middle of this lineup.
Okay.
With the way he's been hitting. So what I have for lefty, and I'll say this, I have the same for righty with Gunnar, Adley, Santander.
Okay.
Those are my top three. Now, if you wanted to switch Santander and Adley, I'd understand it. And trust me, I get that Adley hasn't been hitting the way you would like recently,
mm-hmm.
but this, if we're just talking overall, it's got to be there. My cleanup hitter's Mountcastle. Eloy Jimenez is a DH.
This is against righty?
Lefty.
All right.
Colton Cowser.
All right.
Ramon, Austin Slater, then Jackson Holliday.
Okay.
So, and just pointing this out, a couple things that you have to be concerned about when you're doing it, which and I may have to juggle this just a little bit.
Who's your top three again?
Gunnar, Adley, Santander.
Okay.
So, like, you have to be concerned of stack. Like, if even if you're going to stack lefties, you have such an advantage by having two switch hitters at the top of your lineup that it really helps you. Now, with bringing a pitcher in, if you're stacking righties against a lefty, and then all of a sudden they bring in a relief pitcher that's a right-hander and just throws gas, you don't want them facing three righties in a row. You want to have it stacked a little bit and kind of, like, split up. So that's what I would have. Again, Gunnar, Adley, Santander, Mountcastle, Jimenez, Colton Cowser, Ramon, Austin Slater would be batting eighth, not leadoff for me, even though I understand why they bat him leadoff. And ninth would be Jackson Holliday against lefties. And by next year, I hope Jackson Holliday's hitting in the middle of that lineup.
Here's mine without
Jordan
Westberg. Gunnar, Rutschman, Mountcastle. Then I go Santander, Cowser, in center field, it's against the lefties. Slater in left. Jimenez, the DH. I go Holliday eighth and Urias ninth. And the reason is because of what you just said as well, it's stacking. I don't want Holliday, then Gunnar. All right. I want to, because I don't want you to be able to.
But I treat Gunnar differently against lefties, and we're hoping that Jackson gets to that point too.
I don't want you to be able to, after getting Urias out batting eighth, you come in with a lefty. And now he's comfortable with two, as comfortable as he's going to be with Gunnar. You understand what I mean? I want you to have that matchup problem. Now, with, I don't know if you did with Westberg, but I'll give you mine against lefties with Westberg. Gunnar, Westberg, Mountcastle, Santander, Rutschman, Cowser, Slater, Holliday, Jimenez.
I like that. You're going to bat Jimenez last?
Yes.
I think with a professional hitter like that, I want him somewhere in the middle of my lineup.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but okay, I'm not arguing that. Plus, at the bottom of the lineup, is he blocking in my speed at the top if he gets on?
Yeah, that's possible.
I think it's a fair argument. Like, if that's,
but you used the phrase that I was thinking. Professional hitter, he can turn that lineup over.
Fair enough.
You know what I mean? He's got, that's a duck on the pond for Gunner.
So the other thing I want to point out is, like, to me, I would have Cedric Mullins as almost an everyday player. But if you're talking about for one singular game, like, we're going, this is what I would have. But I'd have, like, if you're going to put Sed in there, then Austin Slater's coming out. You know, or you're mixing up something. Maybe you're making one of your outfielders a DH, and then he's playing center. I think he's just so valuable in center field. And Colton Cowser is really good, but it just shows you how great Cedric Mullins is. He's phenomenal.
I need offense. Do you have one with Westberg or not?
I didn't, but like, I can do it if you want.
No, sorry. Give me your right-hand lineup.
I told you, top three, Gunner, Adley, Santander, O'Hearn, Colton Cowser, Mountcastle, Jackson Holliday, Ramon, Cedric Mullins.
Okay, mine is going to shock you a little bit. And this is not me being cute. This is just my observation, what I like. I've got Gunner, O'Hearn, Rutschman. Then I got Santander, Cowser, West, Mountcastle, Mullins, Urias, Holliday.
Okay.
And if you notice, I'll stack Holliday and Gunner when the right-hand starting pitcher. I'll stack them. With Westberg, I have Gunner, Westberg, O'Hearn.
Can you let Steve Mountcastle know that I had Mountcastle in both of my lineups against lefties and righties?
I will.
Steve, are you listening?
I got Gunner, Westberg, O'Hearn, Santander, Rutschman, Mountcastle, Cowser, Urias, Holliday. I think what we're learning, though.
I want Holliday higher in the lineup, but I understand this year it's not.
Oh, this year, yeah. No, next year.
I mean, when Gunner came up, he was batting low in the lineup, you know?
Next year, I want Gunner, Holliday, Westberg next year. That's what I want.
Yes.
Gunner, Holliday, Westberg.
Or you might.
Or Westberg may be fourth if you don't bring Santander back.
Yeah.
But I think what I noticed in this, because I did lineups with and without Westberg, is how different the lineup is with Westberg.
Oh, I can. So I agree with you. When you had Westberg
so
batting
much stuff to do with.
Second.
Yeah.
Because I think Westberg could be a leadoff hitter, but I like him. I like him a little bit more in the middle lineup because I don't want to take Gunner out of that top spot. I just don't. I didn't like it when they did it. And when you had the ability to put Westberg batting leadoff or Colton batting leadoff, like, I liked it. And with all due respect to Austin Slater, I'm one of the few people that understood the trade and why they were doing it and why they put him in the lineup against left-handed pitching.
Right.
But with that being said, I still don't need to put him at the top of the lineup. This is what the Giants do. This is what other teams do, where I feel like you get way too analytical because you like that switch, and then you can put in whatever hitter you want once the lefty comes out of the game. Because he's not playing a full game. He's just not. He's just going to hit against lefties. That's it.
Yeah. 410-583-1057. That's the number. Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on the Fan. Yeah, I got a little depressed because I was looking at the lineup with my guy Westberg, and he's out right now.
Yeah.
You know, he talked about, you know, getting bored and finding different things to do to keep his time. And he said he was never really a rah-rah guy, but he's learned to be kind of a rah-rah guy now with his injury. Because he has to be there for the guys. The only thing he can contribute right now is cheering for them. Mm-hmm. So he's trying to be a little louder in cheering, a little more vocal, which I think is cool. You know what I mean? Yeah. I'm here for my team. I may step out of character a little bit just to be here for my team.
Was it Daniel Allentuck we had on the show was talking about, like, Westberg just can't sit still?
No, he can't.
That he's, like, out there fielding ground balls with one hand or whatever he's doing, like swinging a bat with one hand.
And it's funny because she and I were standing next to one another when I was asking him about, you know, what's your role now? And it was just, we were both kind of just impressed by his persona. You know what I mean? He's a different cat, man. He's just a different guy. He talks about his faith a lot. He's a different guy.
Somebody had texted me when you were talking about bobbleheads. They said, why don't we have a Big Bad Morning Show bobblehead coming out? Well, first off, my ears would be way too big, so it'd have to be like a bobble ear, I think, where they just like kind of wiggle. Uh-huh. Rob's bobblehead would topple over every time because the base is too small. The head's just too big. And then Ed.
You mean like a kickstand?
Yeah.
Oh, you mean, oh, my fault. My fault.
That's a nice switch.
Let's go to Joe in Ellicott City. So, Joe.
What's going on, guys?
Not much, man. How are you?
Good, man. Yeah, I just wanted to focus on Bat and Rutschman a second. At this point, I mean, it's been a season-long thing. I mean, I don't know if he was batting second last night, but at this point, I would drop him down the order and just try to mix up with the hot hand in there.
Joe, we're talking overall. It's not what's going on directly right now.
But, Joe, here's the problem. His on-base percentage is almost .330. Who are you going to put there that's better than him right now?
I go with the hot hand, just trying to mix it up and put Urias in the two holes, see what happens. Because he's just not, he's batting .260.
You guys are falling in love with batting averages. He doesn't get on base a lot. If he's not hitting, he's not getting on. You guys are falling in love with the batting average. That's not who he is.
So people are posting, and I brought it up to you about Santander over the past, whatever it is, 20 games, whatever the numbers are, you can look it up online, where his batting average is like .170. And then you brought it up going, well, his on-base percentage is .335 during that stretch. So what are you saying?
Yeah, his OPS is, come on, I'm not worried about that.
No, but I'm saying like too many people fall in love with certain statistics that really don't mean as much nowadays. Because a walk is the same thing as getting a single, whether people like it or not. Because what happens? You're on first base.
Terps football coach Mike Locksley will join us at 9 o'clock. But on the other side, these umpires still suck. I'm just leaving it at that. Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on the Fan. That's from a Pirates Cubs game. That's when a position player came in to finish out the game, and the ball was way outside. Wasn't even framed inside. Before we go on, Joe and Ellicott City, if you're still listening, upon further review, that's not a bad move. It's not a bad move.
I don't like it.
I'm just telling you, Ramon Urias' on-base percentage for his career is .329. His OPS for his career is .739. So Joe, in Ellicott City, because of his career numbers and who he is, that's not a bad idea. I'm not saying I would do it, Jeremy. I'm just saying it's not as bad of an idea as I originally thought.
What if we're going to do that? Are his OPS numbers better than the other guys that around him?
I'm saying him
for their career.
I'm not doing it, but to me, when he first said it, it sounded like a horrible idea. Then I looked at his numbers and his recent numbers. I'm like, that's not horrible.
Did you add Joe in Ellicott City so I couldn't take you? If you just said, Joe, that's not a bad idea, I could have manipulated that. So it's like you were talking to me and you said, like, I had a good idea.
We could
idea.
Have isolated that.
You said, so Joe, in Ellicott City.
Yeah.
That wasn't a bad idea.
I did. I would never on
exactly.
air
that's
give
what
you credit
I thought.
For it.
You know, you can just delete in Ellicott City.
The other ones, it rolled together. I don't know if I'd be able to.
What's in his butt?
Now, get on to the umpires. That was bad. You know what's the worst of all? Tuesday night, a game between the Chicago White Sox and the Texas Rangers was suspended in the first inning due to rain. Garrett Crochet threw four pitches. Four. Now, you're not going to tell me that the grounds crew was playing games with him because they were in Chicago. Why would they want to burn a Garrett Crochet start for four pitches?
So answer me this, because I think I know the answer, but during the game, it's the umpire's call, right?
When the game starts, yes.
So this is on the White Sox.
No. It's always a collab.
I thought before the game, it's up to the team to decide if they're starting, when the delay is going to happen. When the game starts, the umpire makes the decision to shut it down. So if that's true, I could be wrong. If that's true, that's on the White Sox. They screwed that up because people have bitched about. So, and just doing this for a long time and looking at weather, Rob, and people bitch
because you're a gambler.
Yeah, people bitch about the Nats all the time because they'll shut down a game like that, and they're going, wait a minute, it's not even raining now. So you might be right. Maybe there is something where they go to the umpire.
I think it's a collab. I think it's a collab effort.
Well, why don't you find that out for me, man? You work for the damn team. Get me my bobblehead and ask somebody the damn question.
I'm trying to tell you it's a collab effort.
But even with a collab effort, somebody has that final say.
Somebody does have final say. The umpires.
Over the team before the game starts.
I believe so.
All right. I'm going to have to look.
I believe so.
I don't know if I trust Rob.
But think about this, Jeremy. You said you're thinking during the game is just the umpires. If it's just the umpires, why do we see the umpires going to the cold when it's raining in the forecast during the game?
Because they could be telling her to get ready. They have to talk.
Right.
I mean, you have to talk. But again, it's up to who makes the decision.
If it was just them. Like, then they would have to talk to her.
I go in my boss's office all the time and talk to him. I still don't make any decisions. They make all the decisions for me.
Do you?
I don't make any decisions.
Yeah, okay, whatever. I think just It's a bad look. It is. You're right. We got to blame the White Sox for some of that as well. But to me, it's just a bad look all around in the circle jerk of a season that it's been for the umpires.
Yeah.
It is. It's been a horrible season for them. And not just balls and strikes. Outs, fair ball, the home run the other day. How do you not see that ball was over the fence and bounce back? Why do you have to replay that? That's a home run. Everybody knows it's a home run.
I think some of those are a little bit more difficult than we give them credit for in that timing because we get to see replays. But I agree with you. Like, the angles we have should be better than what they're looking at home to kind of see what's going on or what they're looking at the game. Excuse me. But the other part of this that I just keep going back to is balls and strikes. If something is that far off the plate and you watch a catcher bring anytime that catcher's glove is coming back in and you can clearly see it every damn time. Stop giving them the call. It's BS, man. There was a really funny moment the other night where, who was it? Somebody threw a wild pitch and it bounced off the backstop and the catcher caught it. He caught it with his back to the pitcher and he turned around real quick and put it over the plate. And he looked back at the ump and the ump started laughing. So it's like, you know, there's some gamesmanship with framing and all that. But this year it's been ridiculous. Like, I don't even know. Sometimes you're watching the game and you're going, I don't think the ump knows where the strike zone is because it keeps moving all over the place. It's been bad, man.
You remember the Mets or one of the Mets Orioles games? It was, I think the one they lost both of them 4-3. It was the Wednesday game on the 21st. That umpire, he called strikes accurately 69% of the time.
That's the worst I've seen.
That is insane. That I don't think I've seen one worse
than
that.
Was it just strikes, or are they talking like strikes and balls?
So
like,
the called ball accuracy was 94%, where the average is 97%. But the average for umpires for strikes is 88%.
So I talked about the Cubs game that I had where the umpire, it was balls and strikes. He hit it 79%, I think, on calls. That means you missed a fifth of all the calls that came across home plate, or didn't come across home plate for that matter. That's awful. And by the way, if you go back to the there's a couple different things you can follow on Twitter, like umpire auditor. You can look them up. There's a bunch of different ones.
Umpire scorecard was what I was just looking at.
So umpire scorecard is another one where they grade these guys out, and you can kind of see what they're doing. Of the top 10 worst umpires this year, I think Laz Diaz has been 7 of them. I mean, how does he still have a job? Like, Angel Hernandez should have been dragging his ass out the door when they were kicking him out.
Now, this says, this is only answering when the game begins. The umpire in chief shall be the sole judge as to whether and when a game shall be suspended during a game because of unsuitable weather conditions or unfit conditions of a playing field. Does not say, I cannot find before a game begins. Can't do that.
Here you go. In Major League Baseball, home team manager decides whether to delay or cancel a game before it starts.
Home team manager?
That's what it says. No. So it's the team. It's the team's decision.
Not the manager.
That's what it says here. Once the home team manager hands his lineup card to the umpire shortly before the game to begin, the umpire and crew chief has sole discretion to decide if a game should be delayed or canceled. Once he hands in the card, so it's up to the home team.
To blame in this one.
This is on the White Sox.
No. Once I hand a card in, the umpire has the authority to make it. This is a situation though where they said the weather report says it wasn't supposed to rain till 10.
And it could be, but that's why I think it falls on the team. Like if the ump's going by what they're looking at, like, hey, we should be good to get this in or at least start it, then you're going to. And nowadays with trying to reschedule these games and how tight the schedule is, they don't want to do it. Like how many times this year have we had a partial doubleheader?
So you're saying that this is yet another example of the circle jerk of a season it is for the White Sox.
Yes. And by the way, if you didn't see how their game ended yesterday,
won! No, we didn't.
Jankowski had one of the greatest home run robberies you'll see.
Oh my, he was put in there as a defensive replacement. He was just put in the game.
But yeah, so it is up. It's up to the home team. But like when they list that it's up to the umpire, I think it's the team that dictates when you're going to turn that stuff. Like, hey, we're going to wait this out. So don't turn in that lineup card.
Russ is going to be cooking in the Steel City. Was it the right move? We'll talk about that at 8:45. But on the other side, a reunion with Lawrence Guy seems possible. But Jeff's rebound questions why they add an interior lineman. You share the same sentiment, Jeremy? Baltimore's big bad morning show on the...
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey app.
If your day sounds like...
We need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... You deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame...
Two more.
You deserve this ice-cold reward. Modelo. The Markable Fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life, some days are good and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work, both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Man. Lawrence Guy looks like he's headed back to Baltimore, Jeremy. I like Lawrence Guy, but I'm with Jeff's Reback. This is a pickup that I don't understand. Yeah. Pass rusher, yes. The Ravens are good at this spot and deep. I don't get it.
Yeah, I don't like it's. We were talking about different players that you think they might bring in, or at least positions they might bring in. This isn't one that you thought of, but there's some familiarity there. Maybe they want to bolster that. Maybe they like the idea of him being here, the different looks you can give him. Again, I'm kind of scratching my head over it too, because I felt like when you look at this roster, that the D line is it's one of the best units that they have on the team, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and deep.
Yeah.
I don't get
That's
it.
That's what she said. You know, like...
Best unit in deep.
Yeah. I kind of agree with Jeff on this, that it is a bit of a head-scratcher, but again, there's that familiarity there, and maybe they like the idea of having him. Maybe there's something else that we don't know.
Familiarity, okay. Familiarity, to me, goes a long way if you need something. You know what I mean? I'm picking up a pass rusher that may not be in their best... in their prime right now, but he's familiar with our system. He's familiar with us, and we are with him. Yeah, this is not an area of need, so I don't buy into the familiarity.
Fair enough. I mean, again, I'm trying to come up with a reason why I think this is going on. I just don't know.
So for the most part, you don't agree with it.
I mean, I agree with Jeff Zerebeck. Like, I'm not saying I don't agree with the pickup. I just don't understand it. Like, they would have to explain to me, like, is it something where you just wanted more depth there? Is he better than somebody that you currently have on your roster? And you wonder, but again, with the young players they have along the D-line, I don't think those are guys. I'd rather see those guys play. Because I think there's some promise there with Travis Jones, not Travis Hunter or Travis Scott, by the way, you know, with some of the guys along the D-line for the Ravens.
Yeah, 410-583-1057 is the number. You get this one, Joe? Do you understand this pickup?
In short, no.
It's a no for Joe.
I do.
I mean, I guess if it's not going to be expensive, then do it. But what is the point? Maybe they know something about an injury that we don't know yet.
That could be it. I hope not. God knows I hope not. But that could be it. I just, you're right, if it's not expensive, but why just waste money if you're only getting it for that reason?
We don't have a lot of we don't have a lot of cap space.
That's why you waste the money to me. I mean, save it for something else. I'm just you know, he's a good guy.
Got that stamp of approval.
Got that stamp of approval. Sometimes,
boom, good guy.
It, to me, it just seems like sometimes.
But when he doesn't play well, is he a bad guy?
Well, that's what fans think. But sometimes, to me, it seems like
I was just using the last name.
Harbaugh adds guys who are good guys. You understand what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. He's a good guy. Want him in the locker room. Some of these guys, maybe guys will report back to him. I don't know. But to me, sometimes he makes too many good guy moves for me. Let me say that. I trust how the roster is assembled more because I trust our GM than I trust our coach.
Yeah, Harbaugh's been a guy that you know, he wants a certain type of locker room.
Right.
We've talked about some of the alphas that have been there. And I'm not saying he was wrong for, you know, what went on with Bernard Pollard, what went on with, you know, some of the other guys that were you know, big time talkers. Remember when we went back to even when Deion was here, they talked about the God Squad and some of the other guys, mm-hmm. and how they didn't get along, and whether you want to believe it or not, like Ray Lewis giving those pregame speeches, that there were a lot of people that loved him, especially the young guys coming in. Some of the guys that heard it before were like, "Man,
I'm tired of it."
Yeah, and
if you're a young player, you've never been in that situation before.
I mean, you're eating all.
You probably
that
think
up.
It's cool.
Well, and again, I can understand why a guy's heard it 5 years in a row, and he's like, "Man, all right, you guys can go get this. I'm going to go do my own thing."
Yeah,
and that's not a knock on Ray. It's you know, like when you have leaders, somebody. I'm sure people in New Orleans were tired of hearing Drew Brees give that speech before going in. You know, like because it sounded cornier than when Ray was doing it, but. No, but I do think there is something to having a good locker room / clubhouse if you're looking in baseball. But I'd rather have good players because I can do a lot more with them, and I'm confident in what I can do. Now, that doesn't mean I'd rather have an Antonio Brown. There are some guys where the juice is not worth the squeeze, my friend.
Antonio Brown is not for you?
Hell no. And he's one of my favorite receivers. And
not now. Not now, of course, but, you know.
Well, so for me, it would have been after the Tampa Bay situation. Well, which one was it that he walked off the field? Tampa Bay, right?
Yeah.
After that situation, I knew. The Oakland stuff, the things with the Raiders, he was making his entrance. He wore some wet socks into a, you know, one of these cryo chambers,
right,
and hurt his feet or whatever.
Had burned him with something?
Yeah. It's like that freezer burn on your feet. Yeah, freezer burn on your feet. No, but like you got to see what type of person he is, and it's all about him. By the way, if you're not following him on Twitter, whoo, buddy.
Is it a good follow?
I mean, he's funny at times.
He's also
very abrasive.
Yeah. His hashtag is CTESPN.
Yeah. Hashtag keep it hairy, if you know about that
dude,
one.
Dude, he makes the kind of jokes you're just like, oh, God. Yeah. Like, it's funny, but at the same time.
You're like, I shouldn't be laughing at this, but it's funny.
Dude, he doesn't care who it is. It could be anybody. Like, it could be one of the biggest celebrities, and then he'll write, he has a hashtag F word of the day. And you can kind of figure out what the F word is. It's not pleasant. Jaron Duren just got suspended 2 games for saying it. You know, like, He has. You cannot cancel somebody that can't be canceled. So he's just doing whatever
to be canceled.
He wants. Yeah, they're like, you're canceled, Antonio Brown. No, I'm not. I'm just going to keep writing this. I don't care what you think about me, and that's what he does. So it is.
So
an interesting
why do social media outlets put guys like that off? And I'm not saying they should. I'm not suggesting they should. But we've known them to put things off. Zach and I have gone back and forth with one another on Facebook and been warned by Facebook.
Really?
Oh yeah.
Well, I told you when you wrote something and I said somebody whoop his ass and I got flagged on Facebook.
Yeah.
And I'm going, come on, man. I even sent a message. I said, look at all of our posts. What are you talking about?
I don't get it, but yet Antonio Brown can have an F word of the day.
Well, it's Twitter, so maybe if it was on Facebook, it'd be a little bit different, or X, or whatever the hell you want to call it. But yeah, like, you know, there's certain guys that can ruin a clubhouse. That whole, it only takes one bad apple to spoil the bunch. I do buy into that.
You think he could be a bad apple?
Antonio Brown, oh, that's the baddest of apples. There's nothing redeeming there. That thing is rotten to the core, man. Yeah.
He couldn't, for the record, he couldn't play for me.
Yeah, well, that's like, remember when Lamar and Hollywood were working out with him, and everybody's like, oh, why don't they bring an AB? Because look at where everywhere AB's been and what's happened. Nothing good.
Mike Locksley, Maryland football coach, joins us at 9 o'clock. But on the other side, it looks like Russ is going to be doing most of the cooking in Pittsburgh.
Let's ride.
For now. Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on the Fan.
Let's steal.
8:46 in the a.m., Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on the Fan.
Let's ride.
Before we get to this, let me ask you a question.
Mm-hmm.
Go to your Facebook icon.
Mm-hmm.
On your phone.
Yeah.
What color is the icon?
It's blue.
It, but the outside of it, though.
Look, mine's here. It's blue. It's just blue. I got a blue square with a white F.
Why is mine black?
Well, Rob, there's
yours black too, Joe?
That's black.
Is it? Have I not just updated mine? Am I not?
I have a feeling you just didn't update. Is it still a bird or is it an X?
It's a...
No, Facebook.
Mine's an X.
Oh, Facebook. Yeah. I didn't hear that.
Yo,
part.
My Twitter is black.
Mine's blue.
See, yours blue?
I was worried.
Why is mine black?
I didn't know you can change it.
I didn't change it.
I'm on black Twitter.
Joe,
I'm not on black Facebook.
You ain't on no black Twitter.
I am.
You ain't on black Twitter.
I got to see all the verses.
Look at this.
I venture off to black Twitter.
Do you have dark mode on your Facebook?
Ooh.
No.
Oh, okay, because I think that will change it.
Joe and I have light skin mode on.
That's why I don't like yours.
Stop.
By the way, this dude, Champ Douglas, just asked me for my reason for posting something. I said, when I post something on my page, you don't ask me.
Yeah.
When I post something on your page, you can ask me. Don't get above yourself, buddy. Don't get above yourself and let social media get you in trouble. Now, it looks like they have a starting quarterback. Russ is going to be cooking up in the Steel City. This is what Mike Tomlin had to say about it.
I met with both quarterbacks here just a few minutes ago after practice, and I informed them that Russ is QB1 going into week one. It was a difficult decision, but not difficult in a negative way, to be quite honest with you. It was difficult in a positive way. The decision was difficult because of what they're capable of doing. The decision was difficult because of how they have conducted themselves, as opposed to the things that they fall short in terms of capabilities or negative conduct. Both guys have been really professional. I've been really excited about getting to know them and their games and having the ability to analyze what both are capable of bringing.
The first thing I thought about when he was saying difficult was if someone comes around here,
whistle.
Yeah, look, I'm not a Russell Wilson guy. I made that clear.
I don't like him.
I have a buddy that is in Seattle, played college football. I did a couple radio shows with him, and he was talking about that Russell Wilson hasn't been the same since that ligament injury in his hand.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if you remember, he used to throw those footballs that it seemed like it was in the air forever, and it was just like dropping it down. You know what I mean? Those pew, like in the bucket, and you don't see that anymore from him. And I don't know if it's because of the thumb injury and the ligament issues he had in his hand. We'll see. And there are a lot of people that want to point at Russell's numbers last year and say, look, he wasn't as bad as you think. And there are a lot of people, Rob, and I don't know if you know this, that believe Sean Payton's the problem there and it wasn't Russell Wilson. So take that for what it's worth.
I think they had two problems, Sean Payton and Russell Wilson.
Yeah.
Well, I think the egos were so out there, and Russell Wilson was smart enough to know not to go back at Payton. Then again, maybe just the punk ass and just didn't go back at him on the sidelines. Because Sean Payton and I would have been in a fight.
Yeah.
You undress me on the sidelines in front of my team, in front of all these cameras, you undress me like that, you and I are fighting. So insubordination is insubordination. But you will not address me like that as a man in front of all those people. That's number one. Number two, this is a move where maybe we'll find out that Chicago made the right move. Maybe we'll find that out with Justin Fields.
Well, I think they made the right move because, first off, you're saving money by bringing in Caleb Williams and having him for 5 years, and he's the highest-rated prospect to come out since probably Andrew Luck.
Andrew Luck.
Trevor Lawrence, maybe.
I think Andrew Luck. I think Lawrence
was really highly rated coming out.
I think he's a little higher than...
Either way,
yeah.
It doesn't matter. Like, I'm just saying that's how highly rated he was.
Okay, you're right. Since Trevor Lawrence, still. Yeah, you're right. Still Trevor Lawrence, because he was the highest since then. But I like the guy. Pittsburgh, I think I'm happy because this is your quarterback decision. I'm happy about that.
Yeah.
I wish you nothing but the lack of success all year with these two guys. The guy that you picked is an a-hole, and the other guy, I like him, but I'm not sure he's as NFL quarterback. I'm not sure if Justin Fields is an NFL quarterback.
I got news for you. As I was looking at the numbers, I think I'm going to be all over that Falcons Steelers over in week one.
And I'll
throw this out there, and I don't mind it. One of these big analytical guys that I had a chance to interview just talking about this year, he thinks scoring is going to go way up with some of the rule enforcements and changes that they've made.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, he thought there were so many misses as far as how they put the numbers on the totals for games in week one, and that it'll be adjusted, saying that we're going to have a lot of scoring. We shall see. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if something's been dictated to the referees and officials. Look for this. Don't look for this. Let this go. But they clearly want more scoring.
Now, New England made a move, too, at quarterback. They are going to give the starting quarterback job to Jacoby Brissett. Okay.
He got hurt, though. He's going to be okay for week one?
Yeah.
Okay.
A lot of people point to the preseason numbers, how Drake May's numbers were that much better than Brissett. And they're right. But can I give you 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 reasons that Jacoby Brissett needs to be the starting quarterback? The Bengals, Seahawks, the Jets, the 49ers, the Dolphins, the Texans, the Jaguars, back to the Jets. Those are the first 8 games for the New England Patriots. Let the boy sit.
Yeah.
Let him sit. Let him watch. Let him stay out of harm's way. Either he's your future or he's not. Jacoby Brissett has seen all of that before. Jacoby Brissett has seen all the smoke. There's nothing new that he's not going to see, that he's going to see. He's seen it all. Put him out there and let your guys figure out what's going on. I would not put him out there. You see how they start the season, man. If you have no expectations on you, which they don't,
mm-hmm.
and you had a quarterback that's your future, why would you put him out there for the first 8 games like that?
Yeah, I know. I agree with you. But if you want to set him up for failure,
yeah.
Because what have we seen in years past? And again, some of it's going to depend on that offensive line. But we've seen some rookie quarterbacks come in and get thrust into situations that they shouldn't be in and just get absolutely shell-shocked. Too many hits, too many sacks. You know, I go back to it, and I still think Derek Carr and David Carr, David Carr would have been a good quarterback in this league. But he got sacked 60
times.
Yeah, in his rookie year. I mean, he got his brains beaten in. The same thing as Tim Couch. And I'm not telling you all these guys would have been superstars, but I think it does matter to which team you go to. And what you have around you.
410-583-1057.
Now, you were bringing up Russell Wilson. What do you think about the Steelers' weapons? They said they bolstered the offensive line. Let's not forget, they got that 6'12" tight end from Georgia, I believe, 2 years ago. They still have Freiermuth. Deontay Johnson's now gone. He's with the Panthers. And then, of course, you have Pickens, who is going to be their number one now.
He's a man.
Do you think they have enough in their... Because we've always said the Steelers find wide receivers. Is there somebody we're not talking about that we should be in that passing game?
Did Russell Wilson put up good numbers last year?
They were okay.
Did Russell Wilson play well last year?
No.
Okay. I think Russell Wilson's going to put up good numbers this year, but he's not going to play well. I think at the end of the day, you're going to say, I don't understand what's wrong because his numbers say... But then you're going to watch him like, no, them numbers deceive. It's a passing league, man.
Yeah.
It's a passing league. It's back in the day where every team had a 1,000-yard rusher. Remember that?
Mm-hmm.
Every team in the NFL had a 1,000-yard rusher. Doesn't mean they were good running backs. Well,
some of it's opportunity cost.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. So well, I ain't worried about them.
I mean, the perfect example, you see it more in baseball. Like, who is the Renato Nunez? You know, this example, Renato Nunez got to play 150 games for the Orioles, and mm-hmm. he hit 30 bombs when the baseballs were juiced. And then the Orioles the next year said, all right, we're just going to let you go. And then the Tigers picked him up, and they're like, ooh, we're going to send you down to the minors.
So remember that story word for word real quick. You know how you know Michael Elias and Sig Bundel are genius? Because?
They let go of Renato Nunez because he hit 30-some bombs, and people are going, well, how can you do it? He's a 30-home run guy in a juice ball era. So, And when he went to the Tigers, the Tigers didn't have anything. They went, we don't need this guy.
And they bring in another genius, E. Rosenbaum, the genius crew. That's how you know. We all question until we stop questioning.
And, Rob, if you don't know, now you know.
Yes.
I stopped there.
Dan Connolly joins us at 9:30 on the other side. Terps talk with the man, the head Terp, Mike Locksley, joins us on The Fan.
My dad works in B2B marketing.
He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norse sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor taste combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.